Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes it rains. The latter the case on Saturday
is at Jack's phrase? Place. That's the phrase?
It was Bull Durham, right?
Okay.
Something? Right. Somewhere in there?
That might be before my time.
Yeah. Young Patrick McDonald, who you hear before you see, also joining us here on Scorecard. But nobody out there on the golf course. It was hail. Oh. It was rain. It was wind. Starting and stopping, but officially called during Saturday play at the Memorial. Look at your leaderboard as it will be a long stretch Sunday for Ryan Gerard and JT Poston, who only post five holes, can't sign their scorecards. Others in the house, Tommy Fleetwood, Wyndham Clark, Keegan Bradley, all within striking distance. Only a handful of players in red numbers right now. Scottie Scheffler finds himself there after ripping the governor off for a bit, but also gave shots back. We're going to dive into it all over the next hour on Scorecard. And a bridge Saturday will make for a marathon Monday, but no matter the distance, I'm always pleased to run alongside my guys. Joe Musso, Shane Bacon, Patrick McDonald here to sink our teeth into some of what we saw, gentlemen. And we didn't see enough, but that is the case on some days like this, Shane.
Yeah, I mean, you would know this, Patrick. Last time we had like the full washout day, I mean, we got a little bit of golf, but I can't remember the last washout. I mean, we're going to have obviously a ton of golf to be played on Sunday, but these are those days that are like uncomfortable for a player because you can never get in any sort of rhythm.
Well, if I had to guess, it was probably last year at the Memorial. It just seems like every single year at the Memorial, we have this type of rain delay where it's 2-3 hours and guys are on the golf course, off the golf course. I think, honestly, it's a little bit of a break for the guys who didn't get too deep into their rounds that they got even deeper and kind of had that stop-and-go nature to it.
You know who it's never a break for?
Who's that?
Golf's Johnson Wagner, our CBS
team. Well, he went home, didn't
always
he?
Always hard at work, Wagyu. Oh, it's great to see you. I mean, he looks dry.
Is he at the Phoenix Open with that hat?
And at least we can say that. Johnson, I know we've asked you to hit shots, answer questions. We need weather on the tens now. What do you make of the day out there, start and stop?
It was crazy when that storm came through. Watched the official pull the horn out on the sixth green, and then we booked it back to the TV compound, sitting here in Titan, and right as I get back in, it opened up. The hail was so loud on the roof of our production truck here, but it was wild. The rain came in big time. It was eerily calm before the storm. It was really hot, humid. You could just feel that weather was going to be building, and it certainly did. And man, some of these shots of the hail and all the water that came down so quickly, it was a wild couple hours.
I mean, Wags, I mean, you're a guy that enjoys the nighttime activities when you're on the road. I mean, you got a plan for a big day tomorrow. You gonna go to bed early? Is it gonna be like an early alarm?
Straight
or
to
what?
It.
Well, I don't think we'll be out here with the early groups tomorrow. I think Golf Channel will handle that. So same business as usual in the Johnson Wagner market right here.
I am curious about the nightlife in Dublin, Ohio. That's not on my radar.
Listen, always nightlife everywhere. You know,
Wags, you're bouncing around a little bit with the groupings. Is that right? What you see early on from Wyndham and Xander when you're following them?
Just had them for a couple holes. Wyndham looks good. He's driving the ball so much better since that Byron Nelson win. I've talked a lot this year about how much curve he puts on the driver. He is hitting the ball much straighter. But I have to say, Ryan Gerard, man, don't sleep on Ryan Gerard tomorrow. He is a gamer. I know his swing isn't necessarily the most beautiful, but he absolutely pounds his irons. He had a 9-iron into one from 190 yards. Ryan Gerard's a gamer. I think he's going to be in for the long haul tomorrow. Very impressed with him. And JT Poston is one of just the coolest customers around, just stoic in the way he chips and putts and doesn't get too up, doesn't get too down.
I'm sure looking to build off that 65 from a day ago that was otherworldly, 9 shots better than field average, 4 shots better than anyone else out there. It's interesting who's moved to the top of this leaderboard, Wags, but I'm also interested when you're on these pairings and the big fella starts going. World number one, Scottie Scheffler, had that streak of 6 holes where he played them in 5 under. How do you feel that develop around a golf course? I'm sure it's sucking a lot of the oxygen out of a tournament when that guy's going like that.
Well, it was crazy with the final group. There was people out there, but you knew where the crowds were. They were up ahead with Rory and with Scottie, and you could definitely feel in that last group, like, it was weird. It was like, where are all the people? And we knew right where they were. They were following world number one, and this is a golf course he's won the last 2 years at this tournament, the Memorial Tournament, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him make a little run in the morning and do something special again tomorrow.
And this is that beautiful approach into the par 5 where he goes on to make eagle. Shane, it's interesting because it's not the first 30 holes or so that he wanted to start this tournament with. He finds it here in the midst of it, and then it starts to leak oil before the rain came. What are you making of the up and down nature right now of Scottie Scheffler's play?
Just a little too loose. I mean, you look at Scottie all season long, and everything's been a little loose. I mean, you see him getting frustrated on the golf course. That's actually part of who Scottie Scheffler is as a pro golfer. We were talking about that a little bit ago, Patrick. But, I mean, the iron play just not as sharp. The driving not as sharp. I feel like Scottie would piece together his game throughout weeks over the last 2-3 years. Right now, it almost feels Jordan Spieth like, where he's missing a bit of a piece.
You said you
of his game.
Say
when I compare him to Jordan Spieth, I'm not
rude.
Talking about Jordan Spieth.
Scottie's
as a
built
player.
Up way too much goodwill to be compared to Spieth.
Listen,
right
Jordan
now.
Spieth did as well. Number one in the world, won a whole bunch of majors. What I'm saying is, right now, it's the iron play will dip for a bit, then the driving will dip for a bit, then the putting dips for a bit. I feel like Scottie's kind of searching right now for all parts to be good, not great, because good's good enough to win.
Yeah, and to the temper point, we obviously don't see him like that often, but we see him when he plays bad like that. Think about the last time he finished outside the top 25 in a championship, BMW Championship, Castle Pines at altitude. I remember a clip going viral of him going, how'd the ball do that? Mm-hmm. You aren't frustrated when you're shooting 66 every single week. It happens like this for Scottie Scheffler. For him, I am a little concerned about the wedge play. Maybe not concerned, but it's not as tight like you mentioned. And you go to the proximity numbers. I look at 100 to 125 yards. He's averaging 21 feet to the pin. That's outside the top 100 on the PGA Tour. Last year, last couple seasons, he's been averaging 15 feet. And so he's turning some of those scoring opportunities into scrambling chances as well. And that just adds a lot of stress to your game, too.
Sitting T12 at 1 under par. To be fair, there are 19 players in red numbers out at Jack's Place. It's been dastardly difficult.
Oh.
And Scottie is not passing the test at the level we expect him to. Still elite in many different aspects of his game right now. But just like you said, a little loose.
I mean, and again, I mean, I think it's, you know, everything was so good over the last few years that when something wasn't quite there, he'd pick it up with the iron play or the wedge play,
yeah,
or the driver, or occasionally he'd make putts, obviously a lot more the last year than we'd seen previous years. But when those things aren't dialed, it puts that level of pressure on everything else. And to Patrick's point, all of a sudden you've got to hit great wedges because you're not making as many putts, and maybe you're leaning a little harder on a part of your game that hasn't been as strong. I just think for Scottie, it's been as consistent as it's been in terms of the finishes. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that got to a point where he expected to win so much that he's not winning right now. And golf does feel frustrating for Scottie. That's the reason you're seeing it come out a little bit more right now. I'd say at least more consistently now than we'd seen in years past.
Wags, to the point of the difficulty out there at Jack's Place, it was interesting. He's in the booth with Jim and Trevor, and I really latched onto something he said. He said, I want this place to play on the razor's edge, but not cross that line. He felt like Friday may have crossed that line. How have you seen the golf course develop over these 3 days? And maybe how do you project it after all this rain heading into Sunday?
Yeah, it's going to be a much different test tomorrow morning. I think it's going to be a lot softer, obviously, with all the rain. And something to keep in mind is they were playing the ball down starting this round. So guys that go out like JT Poston and Ryan Gerard that still have 12 holes to play, they're going to be dealing with some mud balls tomorrow morning finishing that third round. But the wind picked up yesterday, and I just love it when this golf course gets firm and fast. The fairways are very wide, but when they're firm, they play a lot smaller. And you see this rough that is it was topped at 4 inches on Sunday, and it is nasty. I was walking through it a lot today. There's some spots that you could drop a ball and just basically wedge it out like old school U.S. Open. So the rough is going to be nasty. The fairways will be a little bit wider with the soft conditions, but we'll see if they play the ball down in that fourth round, or if they continue to, or if they make the decision to play ball in hand. But that's going to be a real factor tomorrow morning.
I mean, play it down. It's Jack's tournament. This thing's supposed to be hard. This is U.S. Open 2.0 is what this golf tournament has turned into over the last few years. Mm-hmm. This is one of the few opportunities we get to see the best in the world truly tested. The PGA Tour has kind of leaned a little bit more into what do the players want versus maybe what golf fans want. Not my favorite level of golf to watch. I play amateur competitive golf in Connecticut. If it rains the day before, you know what we do? We play the ball down.
Play it down.
We don't move the golf ball. These are the best in the world. They should be playing it down when it's this wet. I was out there on Tuesday, Wags. I mean, this rough. I mean, you lose a kid in the rough. I mean, that's how thick this stuff is. I mean, the greens were slick. Ludwig decided not even to play the back nine on Tuesday. Just hit wedges because of a different wind direction. This is, in my opinion, and you heard Rory talk about it and Jordan and Justin Thomas talk about it, but I find this the hardest test. Even with the U.S. Open in there, I mean, you could put Memorial up, Muirfield Village up against a place like Oakmont last year, and you're going to see similar finishes and similar scoring.
Well, and remember 2 years ago when Scotty won his first Memorial, he shot one over in that final round and was absolutely exhausted, then went to Pinehurst. And just that's why Jack doesn't want his tournament the week before a major championship, because it is basically the same test as a major championship, probably tougher than some PGA championships in recent memory. But it's wonderful. Yes, golf fans, you know me, Shane. I like the carnage. I want to see guys lay up out of the rough. Like on six today, Ryan Gerard was in the right rough. He had no chance to clear the penalty area. He laid up to a wedge. Saw it in the group in front with Sam Burns, did the same thing. That's what I want to see as a golf fan.
Johnson, I'm curious, who does this play into the hands to? Would you rather be on the golf course with five, six holes, seven holes left in that third round? Would you rather be Rory McIlroy, who just has one hole left? Where would you want to be kind of in the peloton right now?
Well, unfortunately for Rory, I think he's going to run out of holes, and this golf course is going to get a lot easier. So these guys that JT and Gerard, I think having the ability to go play a softer Muirfield Village for 12 holes to finish the third round, I think it definitely benefits the guys that have the most holes to play.
J-Dub, we appreciate you joining us here from Titan. I don't see the bag in the background, which is
you guys keep calling it Titan. What is it? Titan? Was this a spaceship?
It's the big truck. That's
okay.
Where,
yeah. I thought it was NASA.
It's our green invite, room. It's amazing.
The invite still. It got lost in the mail.
Gotcha. The Titan invite. I'll get it soon.
Johnson Wagner, we appreciate you as always. Hopefully we get a shot on Sunday, and I'm looking for a milkshake recreation here on set.
Are we doing this?
There's a shelter in place. He literally can't move from that chair.
He's
in Titan.
It's going to the moon.
Where else would you want to be? Where else would you want to be than right here on Scorecard? 60 seconds and we're back with more.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back up on Scorecard presented by Lincoln Financial as we take a look at your leaderboard. And I'm sorry, if I'm JT Poston, Man, I want more than five holes of golf here on Saturday after the Friday that was.
Why is he JT posting?
Do you know what the JT stands for?
But I'm saying like I mean, is it if you have the initials?
Oh, if you're going
like JJ Spawn.
Yeah, he should just be J posted.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why does he get JT posted and then JJ Spawn gets JJ Spawn?
If you are abridged enough, we'll give you both.
Okay, perfect.
What's your middle name, Shane?
Shane.
You're Shane.
I'd be Shane Bacon.
Benjamin Shane Bacon. BS Bacon.
You go by your middle name.
It was not my decision. This was my parents are watching right now. It was their fault. Mm.
I do
their
fear fault. We are getting off topic. Let's get back on topic.
I learn a lot about someone.
JT posted and
it's
see
not my fault.
The little bit that we did get out of our 36-hole leader after that outstanding 65 on Friday from Poston, looking to extend his lead here at the par 4 second. His birdie bid from 14 feet moves him to 10 under par, but then would run into some trouble.
Well, I mean, huge to make a level of putt like that out of the gate after you fire the round he did yesterday. I mean, you kind of want to get the early birdie on the card because you played such an exceptional round. I mean, we love the joke about that, the following up a good round with another good round.
Yeah.
But I just love seeing something fall early if you're JT Poston to kind of continue the role with the putter.
He was hoping it was a sign of things to come. Instead, Patrick, he gives that stroke back and then gets stopped cold dead. How do you think this serves JT Poston, knowing that you have so much golf in front of you on Sunday?
I think it kind of plays into their hands. Both him and Ryan Gerard, not only do you get the softer golf course tomorrow morning, you don't have time to think about it. You don't have to sleep in. You don't have to figure out what your morning is going to be like. You get to get to the golf course early. You get to get into your routine. It's going to be fast-paced and quick out there. And lo and behold, you're just thinking about golf and not everything that comes with it.
I mean, there's just so much opportunity on this score on this scoreboard. I mean, you look at 2026, really, in golf, outside of Rory at the Masters. Yeah. It feels kind of like a year of opportunity for so many pros after we've seen Scotty dominate and Rory be so impressive. And even, you know, guys, I mean, Patrick's guy, Xander, a couple of years ago winning two major championships. I mean, this leaderboard, to me, kind of encapsulates the season. You got Poston, Ryan Gerard, Sam Burns, Eric Cole, Keegan, Wyndham looking to go again. We'll get into Tommy Fleetwood in a bit. But there is a lot of opportunity on the first page of this leaderboard as you look at some of these names that could potentially win one of the biggest events on the PGA Tour.
And I'll say this. 2 years ago, Scottie Scheffler won half the signature events. Last year, 8 different winners. We're on pace for potentially 8 different winners in the signature events this year, too. So that'd be 16 in a row.
That is our 7th of 8 signature event here at Jack's Place, if I'm not mistaken. But you make the point, Shane, that it's really out there for you to take it if you can call upon your best for an extended amount of time. Eric Cole's playing great golf right now. Ryan Gerard is playing some great golf right now as well. Finds himself at the top of this leaderboard.
We got Gerard highlights?
We got some Gerard here at the par 4 second is where we find him with wedge in hand from 127.
Wait, we got one Gerard highlight, I think.
We have the Gerard highlight.
They only
highlight.
Played 5.5 holes.
Yeah.
I mean, hard to have one is good.
Poston would have like 15 yesterday.
Yeah,
if you're going to play 5 holes of golf, maybe hit one to 3 feet. You could take
another one.
You could bank that one. We find him at the par 5 5th as well, his third. Looking to remedy a bogey
very
at 3,
right,
and that's some handsy stuff from the backside of number 5 would make that for a birdie to move back to 9 under. So sits at equal footing with JT Poston through these 5 holes on Saturday. Patrick, what has made this stretch of play so successful for Ryan Gerard as of late?
Well, it's the putter. And he found something at Colonial. I'm not sure what it was, but he found a feel or that new putter, the Scotty Phantom that he has in the bag, and he is confident on the greens. And we know Ryan Gerard is confident from tee to green as is. He hits that little bleeder fade, really flat ball flight, one of the lower ball hitters in this field. He just peppers fairways, hasn't really done that this week, but typically does. And then the iron play is really good. And we talk about confidence, Shane. You have to be confident to win on the PGA Tour. And I think there are few more confident than a one-time PGA Tour winner in Ryan Gerard.
Yeah, I wonder where he gets all the belief from. I mean, it's obviously something that I do believe you're kind of born with, right? That level of belief in who you are as a pro golfer. But again, you kind of look at this board if you're Ryan Gerard and you go, I mean, why not me, right? I mean, why don't I go out there and get this done? And I loved your point about not having to sleep on the lead and just being able to go out there and kind of react. Tomorrow, it feels a little bit more like a reactive Sunday if the weather holds off.
Shane, Patrick and I were talking earlier. Have you seen Ryan Gerard? He did like a quick cribs, like an MTV.
I have not seen
He's very much a bachelor. He is a bachelor.
TVs on the walls.
Love it.
And putting mats on the floor.
Is it like an apartment or a house?
It looked condo-y.
Okay.
I think it's out.
So his new caddy on the bag, JP, he started at Quail Hollow, roommate as well. So it's just a golf pad.
Yeah.
putting mats throughout. No living room table, none of that.
He opens the cabinets. He's like, we got a couple plates, and I was told I need more cups, so every tournament he's going to this year, he's buying a cup. All of his cups are like the Ramblers with the logo of the place on it.
In my early 20s, I remember I lived with a best friend of mine, and I'm fairly certain we never had food in the fridge the entire year. I think we had Taco Bell sauce in the fridge and beer, but I'm fairly confident there was never one item of food in the fridge
just
for the year.
Just some mild sauce is all you need. Mild sauce and your caddy, and you're headed in the right direction.
Now. Come on, what are you
talking
about?
Could be a massive check for Ryan Gerard. What, 5 holes today? He's got 13 more tomorrow, and then his final 18 standing him between he and potentially a signature event check. Sam Burns will try and prevent that. He is one near the top of this leaderboard as well. Slam and Sammy dialed to start Saturday, the par 4 second. You know, there's a lot of like Spieth people out there still. There's Ricky people. You know, there's fan bases. I think Sam Burns deserves a bigger fan base than maybe he has. I love the way he plays golf.
What would be helped with this win? I mean, the guy has been mediocre, Patrick, to this point in the season with the iron play. Very, very impressive this week. And he's one of those guys that gives himself a whole bunch of looks. He's going to convert a lot of them.
Mediocre, I agree with, for being an elite guy, for trying to be an elite guy. It has been better since the past 2 years, but look, to have a fan base like Spieth and Scotty and whoever, you got to win golf tournaments.
You got to do some stuff.
And Sam Burns hasn't won since a golf tournament that doesn't even exist anymore, the WGC match play. Mm-hmm. I was impressed with his staying power at the Masters. He obviously was in with a chance at the U.S. Open last year. So playing some of these difficult golf courses better, which I think is a step in the right direction for him.
Got clipped at RBC in the playoff last year.
Ryan Fox.
Ryan Fox got him with that nasty fairway wood. And also,
this time of year,
I think he scared it at the Players last year or the year prior. There's some signs there, but again, a result would go a long way here on Sunday for a guy like Sam Burns.
And you look at this leaderboard right now, and at least I gravitate towards one thing. It feels like the great putters are having a great week. Like a lot of these guys near the top of the leaderboard. I mean, we talk so much about iron play and driving of the golf ball, but when the golf courses get this difficult and the rough is this thick and you're inevitably going to miss fairways and you're going to miss greens, you better be comfortable over 8 to 10 feet. And he's obviously one of the best in the world at that.
And I'm curious if that switches tomorrow at all. If
with
these
the conditions
guys
changing.
Pin their ears back a little bit. The guys who are 5-6 back, they just go at pins like a Wyndham Clark potentially, who's very confident in his swing, or a Xander Schauffele. I'm very curious about that pairing tomorrow morning. And if those putters maybe run into a little bit of trouble because their ball striking isn't up to snuff. But I will say Burns is second in this field in approach right
now. Yeah, and again, kind of going back to the conditions, Wags was talking a little bit about it earlier. When it gets really wet, and this rough is extremely dense right now, so now it's even going to be tougher. This actually favors all the guys that you think it would favor, the long hitters, the guys that bomb it, the guys that can push it as far down these fairways as they want to, a player like Rory, of course, running out of holes. But you go out there, I mean, he's struggling to find fairways this week, especially in this third round. But he goes out there and hits 8 or 9 fairways. There's potential for 64, 65 for a Rory, to at least make people think about it.
You think it might put more of a premium on accuracy, but it puts even more of a premium on carry distance.
Like just muscle, man.
If you can marry those two things, you're going to have a great chance on set. You said Ryan Fox, and like I can't get the picture out of my head of the
2-time winner last season.
The duck feet.
Two-time winner last season. One at Wentworth, too.
Very good at golf. Very
quick.
Let's stick with some sweet feet here. Scotty Scheffler, I want to take you through the week that was or has been for Scheffler thus far.
I never thought that I was born. I don't know what to do. I can't hear a word you're saying. I'm born talking. I
feel like that was a good shot.
It was a good shot.
Now I'm in the water. Because it came in out of the right.
This is every conversation my wife and I have.
Absolutely flushed a 7-iron.
Wind related?
Back. We just don't know what to do.
I thought you had the diaper bag.
I don't think you understand how frustrating it is.
So that's Thursday.
Like that was a good shot. Really was. Flushed it, right the line. Went
hurting
out of the right.
And it left in the water.
He asked an all-time leading question on 17 when he found the bunker in the fairway, too.
And then there was Friday.
I mean, I think I grind like that every day. I think that's just part of the game. You know, that's maybe some of the worst I've hit it in a couple of years out there, and I still manage to shoot even par around a golf course that requires you to strike the ball really well. And Yeah, I'm definitely very proud of stuff like that. You know, this tournament was one that definitely could have got away from me, but right now I'm only, you know, 9 shots back and still have a chance going to the weekend. With the conditions the way they are, you never really know what's going to happen around this golf course. And, you know, just getting inside the cut line, you know, you still have a chance.
Now, Scottie Scheffler, 8 shots back as he found a heater here on Saturday, fellas. It's been an interesting week and it's been an interesting season for Scottie Scheffler. Again, not the results we're looking for, but he's getting on Teddy there on Thursday, and that's part of it, Shane, the player-caddy relationship and a strong one between those two gentlemen. But it's something that happens, but something you never want to see.
I mean, you're the best golfer in the world, and you're going to get frustrated. Obviously, you have the ability to go out and do these types of things. I actually was more impressed with what he said after that round on Friday than I was about the complaining on the golf course on Thursday. Every great player in the world has given it to their caddy at times. Part of the job, part of the process. You only have one person to really talk to out there to get frustrated at. I'm sure Teddy understands.
He's used to it.
What comes with that?
Teddy's used to it.
On the range, he's done. He's heard it from everybody he's looped for in his career. But I you're a person that doesn't necessarily sound the alarm that often about players. So I do want to ask you, have you at least thought about moving that plastic cover off the Scottie alarm and pressing the button?
Well, I'll say this. We still have a free throw at the 3M Open later this summer. He obviously added that to the calendar. So we have 2 wins in the
bag
for 2020.
That's an alarm.
And mind you, after he won the American Express, me and Musa were on HQ. I was
30
saying,
wins.
Double digits. He's going to get to 10 this season. It's going to be amazing.
10?
He's going to threaten it. And then he just doesn't win the rest of the way. I think with Scheffler, I'm not concerned because let's go through this run of he wasn't the best player in the world in 2023. A lot of people forget that. It was Jon Rahm. Mm-hmm. Jon Rahm was going to win the PGA Tour Player of the Year. He jumps to LIV. Lo and behold, who did the guys vote for? Not Jon Rahm.
Right.
They're
going to
vote for Scottie Scheffler. Even last year when he had a great season, there was some talk of, did Rory McIlroy have a better season? Players Championship, Masters, Irish Open, all that came along with that. And so I think it's just ebbs and flows of a run. It has not been sharp. I will give you that, but I'm not sounding the alarm. This guy's still the world number one.
I think early on there was the equipment stuff and then the swing maybe taking on a little bit of a different form. The way that he's maintained his floor still impresses me. That's why I'm not concerned about it. Maybe I am a little bit concerned, Shane, about his win share and lack thereof here going throughout the season. But I think Shinnecock will be very telling, not just of the level of play, how dialed in that iron play is, because not that you can drive it anywhere out there, but that's not going to be the most demanding part of the test at Shinnecock. It's going to be the approach play and what he can accomplish around the greens where he's world-class still. I want to see, can he keep it together between the ears for 72 holes in a place where it's simply not going to be fair?
I mean, this place is broken. I mean, you're talking about the U.S. Open. Obviously, we got him with an opportunity here, you know, with whatever 20-something holes left that he's got to play here at the Memorial. I think that's a great point, and that's where I was going as well. Not about the golf swing, not about the stats, not about the finishes and all that good stuff. Shinnecock will break anybody. He could break one of the best minds in all of golf in terms of Scottie Scheffler. And if these golf courses are breaking him, I do at least think we at least are going to reevaluate what we think about Scottie. Because if he goes, he didn't win a major these next 2 majors, that'll be a year. And then we have to think about Scottie kind of a quote-unquote drought in terms of these big events. Because after last year, it felt like, okay, he's going to win one a year now for what, the next 6-7 years? Mm-hmm. And if he goes donuts this year, I'll at least have to rethink my Scottie thought.
Okay, so you pose the question. I'll pose it back to you on a scale of 1 to 10 as we sit here on Saturday of the Memorial. Where are you at in your concern?
I think I'm a 4 right now. I mean, I'm not going to get above a 5, but I think I'm at least thinking about it because he's had so many opportunities to win big events and hasn't quite got over the and you know, he hadn't kind of got over it, but I think the people that have beat him is a big part of this because they gain confidence when they take him down when they're right head to head. And these are the 3 best golfers in the world, not named Scottie Scheffler, that beat him.
He's not quite as inevitable as everyone likes to say. That seems to be the term that's always thrown around with Scottie Scheffler. This year is just not the case. I think 4 is pretty fair. I'm probably in a 3 range just because I like to take a little bit of a long-term view on it. But we won't be having this conversation if he wins the U.S. Open. No one will remember him struggling to get across the finish line in 2026 if he wins the U.S. Open.
Yeah, the way that he goes about his business is very interesting right now. He's brought that again into the focus with his actions between shots.
Where are you at, Moose? I mean, you got a 4 and a 3. Are you low?
That neighborhood, too. I think I'm not concerned at all. But I did have the feeling in watching him today as he started to go, when he was on that birdie streak and he makes the eagle of rooting for his success. You root for players, but I also root for storylines. And Scottie Scheffler is a storyline that I desire on a week-to-week basis. So we can vacillate between, oh, Scotty's always going to win or Scotty's not going to win at all. I like to exist somewhere there in the middle. But the fact that I have this expectation of him, I think is an exciting time still in golf, that we have a player that we say, T12, not going to do it.
Right.
Solo second finish, not going to do it. You are the guy who's supposed to win the tournament. Is it fair to sort of saddle him with that expectation? Absolutely not, but heavy lies the head.
Yeah, I mean, you're making $70-80 million a year on the golf course. Like, people are going to ask you these level of questions, and I find him getting more frustrated.
Ask me the question.
In terms of the media as well. Like, it feels like he's kind of burnt out by all this right now, and yet he's still able to go out there and put together solid weeks. But I'll tell you, Pinehurst number two, it felt like a Scotty golf course. He did not play well there in that U.S. Open. Shinnecock is a Scotty golf course. And so, I mean, the expectations are going to be there in a couple of weeks. He's going to be obviously the favorite. But I think in terms of what the golf course asks and how you have to hang around level par and save par and ball strike your way to a win, I think if he goes through that and finishes 15th or 12th at Shinnecock, I will start to rethink who Scotty is right now in terms of that professional golfer.
All right, Pinehurst. Outward expectations. Do I see Rory McIlroy? We got some Rory McIlroy highlights. Looking to get back on track here on Saturday. Had birdies at 1 and 4. Running into trouble at the par 5 7th. What is it about these par 5s, Patrick? It feels like these guys struggle with the par 5s at Jack's Place more than anywhere else on tour.
Well, go back to the PGA Championship with Rory McIlroy. Didn't have a better chance to win that one because of the par 5 scoring, too. And so I think one was a 3-putt, obviously, for a bogey with Rory. But with his power and his length, I mean, he should be 3-under on these four holes every single day.
And I mean, you think about the Masters, was struggling to find fairways at the par 5s. Would he make one birdie on the par 5s at the PGA? And then now, listen, these par 5s are very difficult. And one thing I do love about the design here at Muirfield Village is even the layups are stressful for the pros. I mean, you've really got to think about every shot on these par 5s. I think that's a lot of what Jack wants to see in terms of par 5s. What happens at Augusta? You got to think about the golf shots. You got to think about your layups. Same here. And if you're a little bit loose, you could put yourself in a position where you're just not making birdies. But for Rory, obviously, he's been born to feast on these holes.
I think Trevor asked him a similar question of what is it about these par 5s. Some of them are three-shotters. Like, it's okay that they are three-shotters. You don't have to force the thing down there. This golf course is going to ask you questions. Can you answer it? Rory McIlroy did get to red numbers there, and Roars will look to extract some value out of Sunday because we keep positioning him, Patrick, as this guy who's hyper-focused on four tournaments a year, and that's where he's at in his career. He's earned that right, but maybe the stretch from Masters to PGA didn't offer him the practice, for lack of a better term, if you're going to use these PGA Tour events as practice leading up to majors.
He's lightly run.
He's lightly run. That means he's fresh, but is he on form is my question to you as we again position the world number two towards Shinnecock.
Rory's always on form. When is he not? And I think you think about his flipping mentality for U.S. Open and U.S. Open venues and how it has evolved throughout his career. You look at his last half dozen, it's all top 10 finishes. This guy has been an elite U.S. Open competitor, and I know going back-to-back at the Masters is historic. I would not be shocked if Rory has Shinnecock Hills, U.S. Open, firm, fast, fiery, a score round, even par, that 15 years ago, he obviously won his U.S. Open at Congressional. No one said he could win on a golf course like this. I think he has an extra gear just for it, but I think the driver needs to be a little bit better.
Got to drive it better at that golf course. He'll say in a couple weeks it's his favorite U.S. Open venue. I can promise you that. If he hadn't said it already, he'll talk about that with Shinnecock. Loves the golf course. They've got Rory scorecards posted like in the caddy area that he shot there. He's gone low. I've heard some rumors that Rory spent a lot of time in Shinnecock over the last week and a half or so, much like he did at Augusta National prepping for that Masters.
Yeah, like, do you take umbrage with such a fan?
I mean, I'd go play Shinnecock a lot, too. It's a very difficult golf course. But, I mean, if you're Rory, again, to Patrick's point, the focus right now, listen, he's never won here at the Memorial, and that is a big missing part of his resume. Still looking at St. Andrews, obviously still looking at Riv. But getting that U.S. Open win at a tough U.S. Open venue, I think, is the most important thing right now outside of an old course St. Andrews Open Championship. And I think he looks next week as the pinnacle, or in a couple weeks as the pinnacle.
With the Grand Slam complete, let's spin the block on these things. And then the where becomes even more important of continuing to extend that legacy. And we said it, 6, 7, 8, your statue range then. That's not just Grand Slam and one of the greatest of all time or the greatest European of all time. You're talking about like where are we putting the McIlroy
set? And I think it's more like not just the numbers, but it's stacking up the names of the golf courses. Like, to me, that's what Rory's thinking about right now. Is you could sit there and go, you might get to 8, 9, 10, but to me, he wants to be a guy that won at Shinnecock. He wants to be a guy that won at St. Andrews. He wants to be a guy that had a chance to win and to win at Pinehurst.
In the context of, I let Pinehurst and St. Andrews slip through my fingers over the last 24 months. I'm getting opportunities to go back and get, four years ago at St. Andrews?
22.
Was that 22?
Yep.
I was going to get another run at it in 27, but it's all out in front of Rory McIlroy right now. And the thing is, everybody else vying for those same titles and seems to be this top 15, 20 players in the world that continue to elevate their play as well. I want to get to a couple guys here, and we could talk about the same thing, Shane, the importance of Sunday moving forward. I know you had Tommy Fleetwood circled for the last 24 months.
Yeah, the hat crushed
me. As we look towards
the hat brutal.
Me. I was going to say,
thought in person.
Private equity ruins everything.
Do we
want to
start there? Did he have the baby blue on Tuesday?
I thought it might be like a Muirfield Village hat, and then I looked up.
He wore that twice this week?
Am I reaching? Am I reaching to say, sort of parallel to the season for Tommy, starts out this dark, hey, he's shopping in the pro shop. He looks good. He's doing the flowy pants. Then he puts the hat on. Things slow down.
The griddle.
Superpower gone.
Yeah.
I think I like Tommy at Shinnecock again. Okay. I went away from him. I think I'm back. Now, I haven't picked anybody
2 years ago
at Shinnecock yet. I said he was going to win there like a year and a half, 2 years ago. I think with his play this week, he's the most important name on the top of leaderboard, in my opinion.
There are three guys inside the top 30 who have hit less than 50% of the greens in regulation this week. It's Kitayama, Scheffler, and Fleetwood. Iron play needs to improve.
I'm looking at him in that four under group alongside a man who just clipped one at Craig Ranch in Wyndham Clark. And maybe it felt like a one-off because of the form that he took into Craig Ranch. He's found some way to extend this out and continue to play great golf right now, Patrick. What's been the through line to the success right now for Wyndham, and does it continue?
Well, I think he's unlocking something, you know, whether that's mental or what, we don't quite know. But I think Wyndham Clark is a guy, once he's confident, he starts to run downhill a little bit. He feels like, I can play with the best players in the world. I should be world number one, as Shane Bacon alluded to many, many moons ago.
Don't show the tweet.
But you think about Wyndham, he wasn't in the signature events this year. And this is a guy who probably stacks himself up against Scotty and Rory. I mean, he beat Rory at LACC. He probably thinks, I still am this player, even if the form is a little bit off. So I think it's all confidence right now. And he's really tightened up the golf swing.
Yeah, and as the mental unlocked.
Unlocked. No C. In the unlock.
Yeah. January 1. Can't wait for the app.
There might be an app coming your way. Wyndham Clark continues to
entertain. We may have prepared for the show, but we spent most of the time talking about the app.
Yeah, not downloadable just yet. Shane Bacon, we do have a Psycho scorecard, I'm told.
I think it was from Thursday, wasn't it?
Submissions into the week. We take them anytime we can get it.
Andrew, yeah, this was good. You know, the lines on that, the monitor here are a little light, but there are a lot of squares and circles on that card.
Yeah, so we go double bogey, then rights the ship for three in a
turkey.
Row. 37. Yeah, and you know, like you say, you want to keep it
around par,
keep
right?
It around even par.
Can I say, I run the cycle.
Not enough others.
Yeah, they needed. There's an eagle there and a double. They got both of those in there. Yeah. I run that the Psycho scorecard Instagram account that I started, and somehow it's gotten like in the golf algorithm.
That's
the issue. Just getting thousands of messages now from people that send their scorecards. None of them are psycho.
Don't be
they're
that
all
guy.
Making two pops.
Do not
they're
be
all
that
shooting
guy.
66s. I'm like, that's not a psycho scorecard.
You're missing the point.
Yeah.
It is a part of the golf lexicon, and for that we say thank you to Shane Bacon. Another quick timeout, and then we're back here on Scorecard.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spell babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back here on Scorecard presented by Lincoln Financial. Time now for the Lincoln Financial Action Plan, and that'll take us to Scottie Scheffler's eagle on number seven.
This is so dirty.
I mean, that's about that action. Great shot in here.
Nice drop, too.
With the fairway metal. that was above board.
Yeah, a semi-rough to fairway. Yeah. I know.
You should not be able to drop it in a different grass type.
But the rules are the rules.
You should not be able to drop it in a different grass type. That should not be a rule. Change it. You go from rough to fairway because there's a sprinkler there? Come on.
I said I was rooting for Scotty to inject himself back into the conversation. Let him move into the short stuff.
Ethically, though. Ethically.
It's like
fouling Mitchell Robinson in the first quarter
head.
Last
he
night.
He cracked the sprinkler head.
Like, let's play the
that
game.
That was your action plan presented by Lincoln Financial. We'll see how much action Scottie Scheffler has left in him with a marathon Sunday coming up at the Memorial. Fellas, we ready for a little par five here? I want to throw some more names at you.
Yeah,
see where we're at in this part of the season, this part of the tournament. I thought it was an interesting scene and a heartwarming one for that. This is no charity case. We're talking about a major champion, Aaron Rye, but the way he was received by his fellow competitor, Shane, it's cool to see Rory McIlroy and others really loving him up here his first time out since his major win.
Yeah, I was out on the putting green on Tuesday. Rory gave him, it had to have been a 30-second, 45-second hug.
Like a hug, and then
Rose went over and gave him a hug. It was cool. You could see a ton of respect for a guy like Aaron Rye. And I'll say this. Playing awesome this week. I looked it up. J.J. Spahn last year played solid the next week at Travelers, T14. Kind of in that position again. I can only imagine when you are a quote-unquote random major winner, what it feels like to all of a sudden be a major winner. Life changes dramatically. And then you got to go to that next golf tournament and actually play golf again. To go out there and put together solid rounds on a tough golf course, he's got to be thrilled.
After they forced you into Eagles fandom?
Hat?
They made you an Eagles fan. It's like, now I got to go play golf again?
I will say this. I think you see the reaction, one, because he's a great guy, but these guys see the work he puts in.
Yeah.
And that is just respect through the roof. Even at last year's U.S. Open, you bring up J.J. Spahn. The final group was coming through that double green, the putting green there at Oakmont. Aaron Rye's week was over. He's in the back corner just humming along, four footers. Same thing this year at the Masters when Rory went to the second nine on the putting green, humming along four footers. So it's a respect thing for sure.
Aaron Rye no doubt deserves the respect and the moment, so that we give to him. These others, I'm not sure how much of the moment they do. So just in a couple moments here, we're going to run through some big names who really haven't performed to the level that maybe we would want or expect. Ludvig Åberg, 3-under 69 today. His form still up and down, stretches of brilliance and then stretches of other. Patrick, where are you at on Ludvig?
Oh, gosh. I'm still patient. We talk about all this, but the short game has been messy.
You're so patient
so
all the time,
far. I just think this guy, he's only played, what, 3 seasons on the PGA Tour. He has 2 wins, too. And it's one of those situations where the dam's going to break eventually.
All right, I'm being told there. Too much time on Ludvig. Give me a couple of words.
6 top fives in his last 8 starts, still playing solid golf. Made 9 bogeys Friday, which is not great. But still, of the 4 guys that I think has a chance to win the next 2 majors this year, Ludvig's one of my 4.
JT makes the cut on the number 72 today. How should we feel? I keep getting out in front of this one.
No, I'm not into this yet. You're talking about the original JT.
Yes.
Not the guy that's leading.
I'm still
out there. Still too loose. Still too loose for me.
I agree. I think the last 2 golf courses, Aronimake and Colonial, kind of set up better for him. He could scale back at Colonial. Aronimake, not a big penalty for big misses this week. A little bit expensive.
Going to miss the cut at the U.S. Open. I'm just putting it out there right now.
Top 5 at U.S. Open. Jordan Spieth will miss the cut at the U.S. Open. A referendum. You said you're not saying his name until I don't know when. So Patrick McDonald.
He's close.
A couple words on Spieth.
He's close.
He's close. Shane? Not close.
Didn't have a top 10 this year.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we talk about him all the time.
Yeah.
It's been a
he
year.
Needs to be within two of the lead on a Saturday, and then I'll talk about him.
Okay. You
said and his, I love the guy.
You said his name in the A block.
Full year.
I compared him to somebody.
Full year without a top 10.
A flagrant it came at Memorial comparison.
I love him.
Okay.
But he's not playing good enough golf to get as much coverage
I got
as
you.
Right.
We're sprinkling some picks in here, so I do want to check some receipts here, Patrick. You had a couple winners back-to-back weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll take it. I don't know
on the scorecard.
Which
on the
scorecard ones?
You had Wyndham.
Had Wyndham, of course.
How about Ricky Fowler? I don't know. Was he?
That wasn't mine.
Okay.
So I wasn't on the show on Tuesday,
okay.
So it wasn't official.
Not official.
I did.
It was a lean.
I did pick Ricky to win this week.
Okay.
Now there's only one winner at every golf tournament. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be one of the winners.
That's true.
Or the winner. So just like everybody that doesn't get it right.
79-82.
DFL, not great.
79-82. Shane, we played some golf this week, and you're on your stuff. I'm looking forward to your qualifier to see what you can do there. Do you think you had 79-82 at Jack's place in you this week?
I know
you break, can't say
could,
yes.
Could you break 40
had,
on a nine?
He had 79-82 at Jack's place in him this week. He almost birdied all four of the par threes.
I think Pauly Market would have at least made it a decent number to bet.
Absolutely.
I think I could have posted those numbers.
Yeah.
I think he could have posted
those numbers. You're in the prediction market game now.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, Bryson.
Yeah, we're getting into it. Yeah, they're sponsoring me now. Yeah.
Let's get back to something a little less predictive, a little bit more material. The U.S. Women's Open. We do have an update. Play in progress here in round three.
It's going to be late night watching for me.
It's going to be some great late night watching, prime time watching.
They're not even on eight yet.
And we have names and storylines coalescing at the top of this leaderboard. What gets you going here, Shane?
Well, I mean, obviously Nelly's the story, trying to win a U.S. Women's Open for the first time and get kind of the fake career Grand Slam on the LPGA Tour. That's 4 of 5, not 5 of 5. Mm-hmm. But Patrick, I go to Charlie Hull and I think about names that have an opportunity to win a big major championship. Charlie Hull is like the perfect LA character to win, done for the day after shooting that 6-under round. She had something interesting to say after too, right? She said, just aiming at everything?
Yeah, aiming at everything. Maybe an expletive or two in there. I kind of look at Allison Lee. She was the one at the beginning of the week, an LA girl, saying, hey, the Kings are out.
Yep.
The Lakers aren't in the playoffs. Come out here. She's playing some great golf. And I believe she'd be the first mother to win the U.S. Women's Open in over two decades if she's able to come through.
June LACC, chef's kiss.
This is great.
We're going to get July. LACC at the Olympics next year. This does feel like maybe a little bit of an amuse-bouche for what we'll have next year.
Like my thing about Riv is it's 1 through 18 is basically perfect golf holes.
Fantastic.
I mean, you think about it, and you're seeing, I loved this yesterday, tee shot on 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunker now that all the big boys fly. Every time we get the Genesis, they hit it over. They don't even think about that bunker on the left.
Yeah.
They have to squeeze that tee shot on 9 between those two bunkers. That's what the golf course is.
Yeah.
And that's why this is so great to see.
And even go to the next hole, 10. It's not a one-dimensional hole where everyone but Justin Thomas goes for it, and he's the one who lays back with the wedge because he thinks his wedge play, and he is that good of a wedge player. But there's more nuance to it, and then they move it up today, and you have just a variety of different holes within a single hole.
The half-par starter.
And Moose, we were looking at the upcoming U.S. Women's Open venues.
My goodness.
I mean, it
Fantastic.
Is like the best golf courses to play in the world.
Bangers only.
Shout out to everybody at the USGA for this lineup, and shout out to the clubs as well. I mean, this is what professional golf should look like. Golf course meets the best players in golf.
From the pros to the amateurs, Patrick, I know you were dialed in throughout the week to the national championships where we crown Auburn our champion. Jackson Koivun, obviously a massive part of that.
Yeah, world number one amateur, won 6 times this season, I believe. A lot of people are clamoring for him to be on the Ryder Cup team at Adair Manor. A lot of turnover there. But that Auburn team just rolled through the match play. I mean, they took it to Oklahoma State. Obviously, Koivun went at stout. That's what everyone wanted to see and put together a pretty solid match.
Koivun, very impressive. I'm not sure he'll be on the American squad for Adair Manor. Feels a little bit like a Ludwig situation.
It's the perfect time for the
Texas
topic.
Tech. I will say this, if there was ever an opportunity for an incredibly young player with a ton of talent to make one of those teams, we saw with Ricky years ago, if you remember, and then he had a great run in that singles match on Sunday to give the Americans an opportunity at Celtic Manor. I think about, obviously, Ludwig getting that opportunity. I look at a Koivun. I think he is the next best player in terms of American golf, and he wins a lot. I love looking at players that win no matter where they're playing.
Yeah.
Do you take home trophies?
Put him on the team.
Put him on the team.
I want to see, put him on the President's Cup team, and then we'll be ready to have him on the team. But
Now you're speaking about scheduling. Yeah, you're like talking dirty to me saying that.
He
was
at that Ryder Cup tune-up at the Pro Corps Championship, and I believe he finished top 10.
Got invited to the dinner?
The Pro Corps.
He was.
I love the fact
he dusted JT in all of them.
All right, let's get back to the matter at hand here as we round out Scorecard presented by Lincoln Financial. I need a pick to win, as it's going to be quite the test and an extended test, like SATs, where you sat down, you had the juice box at the halfway point, then you went down and you finished the written portion. It's going to be a long day Sunday. Patrick, who's fit for it?
You're drinking juice boxes in high school? I think the SAT is actually going out of style. I read a Wall Street Journal article.
I was an ACT guy anyway. I'm going to go with a Capri Sun right now.
I'm going to go with Ryan Gerard. I think the long day is going to help someone like him. I also think the softer conditions will help someone like him. He's a lower ball hitter, one of the lowest in this field. And I will say on Thursday, he said something that I really liked, where he feels like he's okay making mistakes because scoring opportunities are out there. There's going to be scoring opportunities tomorrow. And I think that puts his mind at ease with that experience last week at Colonial. I think he grabs the second one.
I'll go Sam Burns, 106 this season in terms of strokes gained approach, second in the field this week, making a whole bunch of pars, a whole bunch of birdies, and not a lot of bogeys. I like Sam Burns. You look at the board, kind of the most polished name really atop the board.
I think I'm going to co-sign the Sam Burns. You got me with the driving distance. If it's still going to have some heaving in that, some water coming up, driving distance at a premium, I have a hard time looking past six because you have to make up so much ground. That takes us to four names. Give me Burns on Sunday
You can't go deeper than that. You don't go to Rose at 200, Rory, Scotty at 100.
It's really got
to
be soft, right?
They've got to shoot something crazy. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you tuning in here on Scorecard. I am being told that, you know, you're getting at us in the comments. A YouTube comment came down here on our Golf on CBS.
Put it on the screen.
I'm sorry.
CBS YouTube page. Viewers, we're waiting to see this one.
Here we go. No, maybe it's not there.
We got it. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, is that the thing to do?
This has been Scorecard, presented by Lincoln Financial. I'm being told we should be able to see it. We can't see it.
That's okay.
We love you for tuning
in. Sign into YouTube and you can read it.
Shane Bacon
Joe
and Patrick McDonald.
Joe didn't mean that.
Joe Musso here. Signing off on Scorecard. Join us right here at the conclusion of the Memorial. Trevor Immelman will join us from the Super Tower.
Let's
World Crown
a
champion.
Tomorrow.
It's going to be a big day from Jack's Place.